That's the most important thing. We had a good time. I always tell them, Linda, take it easy, you know. It's a wedding reception every night.
Yep.
She does. It's a labor of love, and frankly, it's a dying art. I don't know many people who have that skill. Just the variety she knows.
I'd like to call the council meeting of January 26, 2017 to order at 7:07 p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Vicki, you call the roll, please.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
Councilman Christopher L. Biro. President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present.
Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
Councilwoman Jennifer Summers Greer.
Present.
Councilman Christopher Hollum.
Present.
And Councilwoman Janet R. Micah.
Present.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to excuse Councilman Biro's absence tonight.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilman Hallam to excuse Councilman Biro from this evening's meeting. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki?
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Councilman Biro has been excused from this evening's meeting. The next order of business is the disposition of the journal for the regular council meeting minutes of January 12, 2017.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to approve the journal for January 12, 2017.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Micah to approve the regular council meeting minutes of January 12, 2017. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Vicki.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
The regular council meeting minutes of January 12, 2017 have been approved. I will not go through correspondence, notifications, or cancellations as all of these will be posted. The next order of business is the mayor's report, and he is not here this evening, so the next order of business is the law director's report.
No formal report. Open to any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lobey. Any questions for the law director?
I have one, Madam President.
Councilman Fiebig.
Mr. Lobey, did you authorize the mayor, did you advise the mayor to sign that cell tower contract?
No, you did.
Prior to the Planning and Zoning Committee approval?
No, you did. I'll gladly talk about this in great detail, but there was in fact, this council did not take my advice. In fact, my advice was not to even pass an ordinance, as you know, and I gave you my written recommendation to that effect. Whether it was passed out to all the council or not, I do not know. My recommendation was that you would have the reading, a second reading, and then wait to see what Planning and Zoning did. Thereafter, there was communication with other members on this dais that were against what I recommended, and it was passed at the second reading, waived the three-reading rule. And so that was an ordinance authorizing directing. And I can get into the details of that, but it doesn't matter whether it's signed or not. Council gave up its right by passing that ordinance to making any decision. And that is the issue, whether he signed it now or then. In fact, as a matter of law, it would be contingent upon the P&Z to make its final determination. And we're going through that. In fact, in the Planning and Zoning Code that are referenced in there, one of the conditions is that you have to have a lease executed. So it's one of the conditions preceding. So whether he signed it, didn't sign it, or anything else, it's the passage of the ordinance. That is what the tower company wanted. They wanted this group to act first, and it acted first over my direct objection. This body did not follow my advice. And now that you're getting some pushback from some members and, you know, everybody's pointing the fingers again. But I think I made it clear in my email. So I didn't direct him. In fact, if you read the ordinance, you directed him in the heading and in the ordinance itself. to execute. And whether he signed it then, now, or later, it's still contingent upon planning and zoning. The only problem is that this body does not get the benefit of knowing what planning and zoning is going to do. It gave up that rights by passing that ordinance. And you know my opinion on the next topic. Somebody's now trying to repeal that ordinance.
Okay, Mr. Lobey, I'm going to stop you there because you answered Councilman Fiebig's question.
Not fully.
You know,
not
I'm
fully.
Not sure he completely
not
answered
fully.
It.
You're out of order. That's the first time.
Madam President, can I just follow up? Did he?
No,
did the mayor?
Can I answer them?
You answered Mr. Fiebig's question. Do you have another question?
Just a follow-up. Specifically, you said that no, you did not. So did he consult with you prior to signing this?
Direct consultation, no.
Okay.
But can I answer more?
Thank you.
No, we're done. No,
I don't like to be censored, which I put in my mail. That's the problem.
The next order of business is the finance director's report. Mr. Berkachek.
Nothing to report in addition to what we went over in finance.
And John will report that then. Thank you. City engineer's report. Oh, is there any questions for the finance director?
Okay. Mr. Berkachek. I mean, Madam President.
Mr.
Frank, did you, looking at these numbers, thanks for this report, and it was also good news to see that the auditor has ranked us highly. So, you know, kudos to you and the department for that. We'll review these and digest them. Do you foresee any strong changes that we should be aware of at this point with either the income side or the expense side? Going forward?
No, at this point, I'm expecting 2017 to be similar to 2016.
The loss of some business, you know, down at the West End is not going to be that much of an issue, you don't think?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions for the finance director? Seeing none, city engineer's report, Mr. DeFranco.
Thank you, Madam President. No formal report, but I'm open to questions.
Any questions for the engineer this evening?
Madam President.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Councilwoman Micah?
Yeah, I have a question. First of all, thank you for providing the information on the comparables for the other cities. In our discussion Monday night in our committee meetings, Chris Biro, who's unfortunately not here tonight, was very concerned in our discussion about the sewer rate ordinance that you be consulted and were able to weigh in on what you thought about the numbers, what you thought about the whole idea, what you thought about the ordinance. I wonder if you would be prepared to give us a statement as to that.
I'm not familiar with the details of the city finances related to the sewers, so I can't really give a lot of, you know, definitive answers, but I would just, you know, as you review the rates, you know, they should include, you know, potential costs, potential projects that are anticipated in the future. I'm just hoping that's included in the rates. You know, I think the rates cover typical maintenance, future improvements. I'm not exactly sure everything that's included in the rates, but I just hope that it's all looked at together. I just wanted to provide that survey because I was aware that it existed. And I know that each city is a little different. You know, some cities have more of a population that can support the sewers, so that might be a reason why some cities are lower rates. Another thing that crossed my mind was Willoughby Hills, by its name, has a lot of hills. So it has a lot of pump stations, which, you know, cost more to maintain. I think we have 11 pump stations, whereas some cities might not have any. So that's just another factor that, you know, could cause our rates to be a little higher than other rates. Those are just some thoughts that crossed my mind.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe was next.
Sorry.
Thank you. It was a question for Pete about in safety. On Monday night, we were discussing some streets in the city that a parking ban might be required because of the distance of the street. Mm-hmm. So I believe there's one right now, Stark, that has an all-the-time parking ban on it. Is that correct?
That's what I've been told. I haven't researched it.
And then I guess there's a couple more that were brought up, Timberline and what was the other one?
Trailyard, Glengate.
Trailyard, yes, yeah. down there. So I might want to just get with you and get your opinions on these if we were to move forward with expanding that into actual legislation to see what the engineering perspective is for those streets for emergency vehicles and things like that for access. Okay.
Actually, I can respond because I did correspond with the police chief on those. Three out of those four streets, the width was only 16 feet wide. And our code says if you can't park on a street if the remaining distance is less than 10 feet. So on those streets, it would definitely be less than 10 feet. So the no parking, in my opinion, would be justified. The fourth street was at 19 feet wide. So it's kind of like right at the borderline. But, you know, considering that some cars are larger than others,
yeah.
In my opinion, it would also make sense to make that no parking, just because you don't know what kind of car would be parked on the street.
Which were the 16-foot? Do you know that?
Yeah, it was all of the streets, Trailyard, Glengate, and Mayfriars. They're all okay. In that same subdivision.
Right.
And Timberline was the one at 19 feet.
Thanks, Pete.
Vice President Plushnik.
Madam President, just to follow along, Pete, Mr. DeFranco, I should say, to follow along with Councilwoman Micah's question, it sounds like what you're saying is you haven't formally reviewed the issue and that it's largely one of finance, that we have to bear in mind that there are the costs of the sewer that need to be maintained, but that's really a budgetary financial issue. And we have, had a discussion with the finance director. I know that Councilwoman Micah and the mayor have all met together with the finance director to look at that. But it sounds like you're saying it's not so much a technical or an engineering perspective so much as it's a budgeting one to make sure that there is the funds to take care of future liabilities and work.
I think it's both. But me personally not being familiar with the system and all the components and all the maintenance that's required, can't really speak in detail about it. Typically, I know in North Olmsted, where I'm also involved, when they look at the rates, they hire a specific consultant to do a study who's familiar, who specializes in sewers.
And was a study along those lines done, do you know, in 2013 when the rates were increased?
In Willoughby Hills?
Yeah, did we hire a consultant?
I don't know.
Does anyone else, Mr. Berkachek, do you happen to know?
No, we didn't. We developed it in-house.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, with the engineer's input.
But that engineer was not Mr. DeFranco.
Right.
It was Mr. Ifelice.
Correct.
Any other questions for the engineer this evening? The next order of business is committee reports. Vice President Plushnik, do you want to do your mini one?
Absolutely. Madam President, very quickly with respect to finance, obviously I haven't had time to draft formal minutes. I promise that they will be done. But just to give a brief synopsis to the few who weren't present, our finance director shared the actual budgetary numbers for 2016 and gave a brief synopsis. His assertion was that it was a relatively good year, that revenue was a little bit higher than anticipated, that the budget came in a little better than anticipated, and that there were a lot of one-time expenditures that year, including the Route 91 project, but no one-time revenue increases, and so that boded well as a general matter. He also shared with us that the ordinance on our debt refinancing is time sensitive because the more time available allows for more time for the bond council and the issuers to seek a better rate or set of terms for the city. And so he recommended waiving the three reading rule and adopting, and also shared that the debt is being repaid according to our previously adopted debt repayment plan, so there's no policy change in the ordinance in question. The last thing that the finance director shared with us was a survey on financial financial health of Lake County cities provided by the state auditor, and in his judgment, based on the rating system, the city of Willoughby Hills was the second healthiest city in the study, which is obviously good news. I will say in brief, I expressed the concern that we need to look at individual items of the budget going forward, which we will receive in early February, according to our finance director. I expressed concern about the city newsletter, and I think anticipating the council meeting starting in a moment, the other members of council decided to refrain from further discussion. We had public portion. No one came up to speak, and I certainly stand open to any questions or additions to the very abbreviated finance committee meeting minutes.
Thank you, Vice President Plesnik. Any questions for him concerning the Finance Committee meeting this evening?
Well, hearing none, if I might continue with personnel relations.
Certainly.
Once again, I'll be brief. My formal minutes will be submitted and have been submitted and will be available for review. But to sum them up, we had a Personnel Relations Committee meeting on January 23rd at 6:40 p.m. All members were present for our committee. We were essentially in place to review the police union contracts, of which there are three, for our sergeants, our patrol officers, and our dispatchers. Our committee members asked to author the contracts, and it was shared that this was a negotiation process between the city, being represented by Police Chief Collins, the law director, the finance director, and the mayor, whereas the respective unions obviously had their own representatives. We asked what level of raises were present in the contracts, and we were told that both the patrol and the sergeants were receiving, under the tentative agreements, a 2% raise for each of the 3 years in the agreement, whereas the dispatchers were receiving a 2.5% raise. And I had inquired if we knew the cost of those numbers. The finance director shared he's still running them, and he will try to get them to us as soon as possible. Our committee member, Linda Fulton, asked why we have uniform allowances as opposed to reimbursing our officers for the uniforms that they actually purchase and substantiate. The law director shared he'd suggested this in the past because there are tax benefits both at the state and federal level, but the unions had generally rejected them, and our police chief added that the quartermaster system, which is what reimbursement is usually referred to, is pretty rare in cities these days. It would be an outlier to have one. Our law director also shared in closing, because no one spoke in public portion, that the city and the unions for the police have signed extensions, and so they're anticipating that it'll take a few months for council to review them and go through a full three readings before they are ultimately passed and executed. And he also shared that we should expect a union contract, or I should say a tentative agreement for a union contract with the service department very soon, but that the negotiations were only beginning with the fire department, and they had not even begun with the proposed newly forming secretaries union for the city. So that's the status of personnel relations, and I stand open to any questions.
Any questions for Vice President Plesnik on Planning and Zoning Committee meeting this week?
Personal relations, you mean?
Personal relations, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'd just like to correct. It's not a secretary's union. It's covering administrative employees. Almost none of the employees potentially are covered or secretaries.
So do you know the formal name of the union? Has it been set yet?
Not that I'm aware of.
Thank you.
I'm only aware that they're being represented by AFSCME.
Thank you.
Any other questions on personal relations? Thank you. Mr. Fiebig?
Thank you, Madam President. Safety Committee of Council met on January 24th, Monday, at 5:32. Committee members, myself, Councilwoman Micah, and Councilwoman Greer. Jennifer Greer could not join us that evening. Also present were Council President Fellows and Vice President Plechnik. Chief Collins was also there. Councilman Biro arrived 5:35. Mr. Lobey arrived at 6. The order of business were three basic things. Discussion of the 2017-4 overnight parking ordinance. The amendment was suggested that it would read, no person shall park between 2 and 5 a.m. Current language in the law was written in the 70s for a period that now reads between 10 p.m. and 8 a.m. for 5 hours, and that's very difficult to enforce. The chief submitted copies of neighboring cities' ordinances that mirror this proposed new language. In testimony, our chief asked for legislation via a memo to the mayor's safety director, since his supervisors asked for them, since the use of marking tires is long past. So common sense would rule that if a resident is having a driveway repaved or something similar to that they wouldn't write a ticket to a resident for that. There was a discussion of parking bans on other streets at all times, like Stark Avenue. And then he brought up the other issue that I just discussed with our engineer. We also discussed snow emergency ban, and it did seem like something we should discuss further. Next, we reviewed the staffing levels as a proposal was presented to increase that. Two full-time officers, we reviewed that. We also had discussion about the full-time, part-time issue and how part-timers are hired, and then we train them, and then they go to another municipality because of the extensive and great training, and we lose them. So it's kind of a revolving door. We also discussed the issue of a substation down at the west end of the city, and the chief also discussed how the benefit of having a lateral transfer over one of the unique communities that offers a well-trained officer to come in and not necessarily lose his ranking and so on. The next was cell tower notification to residents. If there were a cell tower there to be placed, currently the notification is only 500 feet, and it was proposed to expand that. We discussed a half-mile distance. We also suggested perhaps that be reduced to a 1,000 feet. However, new technology that places mini towers in the right-of-way was also brought up. So more research on this was to be continued, so that was going to be something for more discussion. So the committee recommended that 2017-4, the parking issue, be left on second reading. The cell tower notification remains in committee, and the fire department, police department staffing levels referred to finance for budgetary review. Public portion opened at 6:28. Linda Fulton spoke and welcomed the snow ban for safety reasons in the city. Mr. Suhula discussed notification areas and its impact on the residents. Meeting adjourned at 6:38. I'm open to any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Fiebig. Are there any questions for the councilman concerning the safety committee of this week? Thank you. Mr. Hallam, Planning and Zoning has canceled both their meetings this month.
I know we canceled the last one. Yeah, I think both of them. We didn't have any no new items.
Except cell tower.
Well, but that's not they haven't come back to us, so they didn't ask for a time slot or anything.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'll report on.
Madam President, I do have a question. Isn't that set for next Thursday though?
The February 2nd is the next meeting, correct?
And for the cell tower, just company did come back.
I believe they did. Yes.
Schedule that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Lobey.
I think Mr. DeFranco just sent out an email today that might shed further light on whether or not they can proceed or not. I don't know if you guys got a copy of it.
No, but I just redistributed my comments to the building commissioner, so he would officially set the agenda for next week.
But there's also many items that he put on there that he even put potential postponement of it, just so you know.
It would be really appreciated if we could have that information.
It just came out today at about 11:30. That's why I'm bringing it to your attention.
Could you briefly say what that is?
Well,
are we out of order with that, or is it kind of in the committee report?
Well,
I can email it.
That would be appreciated so we could see it. Uh, Rules and Legislation met also on Monday, 7:30 p.m. All members of the committee were present, myself, Vice President Pleshnik, and Councilwoman Mica. Also present were Councilman Biro and Fiebig, as well as, Councilman Biro and Fiebig, because everybody left. The order of business was for this evening's meeting. The first one is Ordinance 2017-1. This is an ordinance to execute the collective bargaining agreement for the sergeants. The lateral transfer information still needs to be corrected on this agreement. This had not been corrected from the last time when we voted on this 3 years ago. And as Mr. Hallam so graciously reminded us last time, recommendations from committees are only that, recommendations. So Rules and Legislation Committee of Council recommends this be on second reading. Ordinance 2017-2 is an ordinance to execute the collective bargaining agreement for the patrol officers. Rules and Legislation recommends second reading. Ordinance 2017-3 is an ordinance to execute the collective bargaining agreement for the dispatchers. As well as the sergeants, the lateral transfer information needs to be corrected on this agreement. Rules and Legislation recommends second reading. 2017-4 is the ordinance to amend Section 351.14A concerning overnight parking. This was brought forth for clarification and to aid our police officers in enforcing the law. What we have on the books today is quite outdated. This was discussed extensively in the Safety Committee meeting. And Councilwoman Greer and Councilman Hallam, both of you have brought questions to the dais about this. And I would encourage you, if you don't feel that you've had those questions resolved, that you should contact the police chief, because we've had a lot of discussion about this, and unfortunately we're not able to join us on Monday.
Madam Chair, I did speak to the chief, so I'm set. Thank you for...
Okay. All right. However, rules recommend this be on second reading. The next one is Ordinance 2017-6. This is an ordinance abating sewer rates to halt the 2017 increase and roll back the sewer rates to 2015. Additionally, in an effort to lower sewer rates, the ordinance proposal would reduce the minimum consumption of 1,000 cubic feet to 500 cubic feet of water of the Willoughby Hills operating rate. Euclid will be increasing their portion of this bill this year, so it is important to review this annually. This is a blended ordinance with the administration. Councilman Biro shared that we have not had a current analysis done on the sewer rates since the inception by the former city engineer. This was just spoken to a little earlier, and it would be helpful for our current engineer, possibly for Mr. DeFranco to weigh in, but he did comment on that. This is time sensitive and would need to be adopted for residents to see a reduction in their sewer rates for the first quarter billing of this year. And kudos to Councilwoman Mica and Vice President Pleshnik for their due diligence on this project. This ordinance is currently on second reading. And Rules and Legislation had recommended that the waiving the three reading rule and adopting the ordinance. The next one is Ordinance 2017-7, an ordinance authorizing the expenditure of funds required to perform the city's 2015-2016 audit. This is being requested because it exceeds the mayor's spending limit. A couple questions came from the committee concerning the audit work being done, and if we do yearly audits, and those questions were sent to the finance director, and thank you, Mr. Burkacek, for responding to those. And Rules and Legislation recommend this be on first reading. The next one is Ordinance 2017-8. This is an ordinance authorizing the expenditure of $26,925.17 for the annual support and service contract for the CODI system. It is an annual contract. Rules and Legislation recommends this be on first reading. Ordinance 2017-9 is an ordinance for the issuance and sale of not to exceed $550,000 in notes in anticipation of the issuance of bonds for the purpose of paying back a portion of the renovating and improving and equipping the dispatch center, acquiring a fire truck, rebuilding and resurfacing various roads, including a portion of Gatsby and Hanna, acquiring an ambulance chassis, acquiring vehicles related to the service department. Mr. Burkacek spoke about this in the Finance Committee meeting this evening as well. Rules and Legislation recommend this be on first reading. Ordinance 2017-10 is an ordinance to amend Part 11 of the Planning and Zoning Code, Chapter 1161, to expand the area in which property owners are provided notification of a proposed conditional use of a telecommunications tower or facility from 500 feet to 2,640 feet or a half-mile radius. This was discussed extensively in the Safety Committee as well, and will stay. Rules and legislation recommend that stay in the Safety Committee meeting, as well as that committee, too, to discuss it further. The next one is Ordinance 2017-11, an ordinance establishing the terms and conditions required for the confirmation of a mayoral appointment of department heads. This is intended to be used for council as a check and balance when confirming new appointments. This ordinance was not marked two weeks prior to this meeting, and it was in the rules for the first time for discussion, and so now it has come to the table for first reading. The next one is also a discussion ordinance that came to the table this rules meeting. This was the ordinance to rescind Ordinance 2016-29 to the execution of the option and ground lease agreement for property located at River Road that was not in compliance with the stipulations provided in Sections 2, 3, and 4 of the ordinance, as there was no authority to execute the lease until the conditions had been met. Mr. Lobey has sent out an email about this and asked who directed this information, this ordinance, to be adopted. I did, Mr. Lobey. Anyone on this council table can have an ordinance drafted for discussion, and that's purely what this was for. Unfortunately, we seem to be in this email quandary where we're being harassed because we're just asking questions because we're not sure of some of the stipulations that have moved forward. You also asked, why is it coming now 6 months later? Because in December, the only council meeting we have, Councilwoman Greer asked the mayor if the contract had been signed not only once, but twice, and he sat at this table and told us no.
Is that a question to me?
No, it's not a question. It's a statement, and it's in the minutes. The other thing, in the June 9 meeting, your minutes say that you wanted us to vote on the concept of this. You can have it if you'd like.
I've got other ones for you, don't worry.
Okay. You know, it's really unfortunate that individuals from council come and ask about the business that we're doing in the city. And when we ask these questions, so many times we're treated as if we're doing something really terrible. All of us in city council have a responsibility to the residents to make sure that we're doing the very best we can for them. We have that part to do on the council table, and administration has that part to do in the administrative offices. So I find it really disconcerting when we come with questions or concerns that we're treated as I don't even know what word to use. It's just very upsetting. So anybody at this dais can come to the council clerk and ask for an ordinance to be drafted so that we can bring it to a committee and have a discussion about it. There's nothing wrong with that. Just as the mayor has the authority to bring to us an ordinance or a resolution of which he has and right at the council table and has distributed to it and asks us to vote on it the same night, which is egregious because we have a responsibility to vet all that. So we're allowed to do this. And as your council president, I have the authority to set the agenda. So if there's questions about the agenda, then people need to come to me and not to everybody else and ask why I did what I did. You gave me the opportunity to be your council president, and I'm doing the best I can, and I learn at every meeting. And if you have questions, Mr. Lobey, don't call the clerk, call me. I would appreciate that.
For the record, I have called you on other matters asking for special meetings. You never called back, and you never allowed it. I have texted you, and you don't text back.
I don't have any text from you, Mr.
Yes,
Lobey.
Yes, you do, then, concerning the litigation issues.
Okay, well, that enough.
Okay, but you're asking me questions.
I'm not asking you questions. I'm making statements.
It's your meeting.
Yes, it is, sir. It most certainly is. Public portion started at 8:24 p.m. Mr. Suhula brought up the following points. Councilman Barrow mentioned that the city had an opportunity to get into the Cuyahoga County Interceptor, but at that time, the city engineer didn't think it was a good idea because the rates would be higher than Euclid, so we went with Euclid. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just relaying what Mr. Cejudo relayed in the public portion. He also had a meeting with Mr. Marsh to discuss the cell tower at the Grange. The purpose of Ordinance 2016-29 was for Tower Co. to use the cell tower if it was built, contingent on planning and zoning. Mr. Cejudo also shared that he signed a document from CTL Engineering of Ohio indicating that he, Mr. Cejudo, as a presiding officer of the Willoughby Hills Historical Society, encouraged the proposed construction of the cell tower as long as the tower is a stealth tree type and equipment building and site is adequately screened with evergreens from the parking lot and the cemetery. Councilman Fiebig asked for a copy of the letter. Mr. Cejudo indicated it was from a private contractor to him. However, he did copy the letter and distribute it to us. Public portion closed at 8:35 p.m. The meeting adjourned at 8:35 p.m., and I am open to questions.
Madam President, I didn't hear. What was the recommendation for the rescinding of the ordinance?
There is no recommendation. It's still in committee for discussion.
Okay. I just didn't hear what the what.
There, it's in discussion. It wasn't even numbered, and it wasn't put on this agenda.
Thank you.
Madam Chairman?
Mr. Lobey.
All I ask is that my January 24, 2017 email be on correspondence so that everybody will be clear as to what my recommendation is. I just noticed that it's not on correspondence. I assume it's an oversight. But I don't want to get into who said, she said. I put in writing. I'd just like that to be made part of the correspondence. That's all I ask.
Thank
you. Fairness, and I think it was addressed to all.
What's the date?
Huh? It's the one dated January 24th, 2017, that references what Ms. Council President talked about, the Ordinance 2017 repealing on the cell towers, so that everybody understands what my opinion was. Last time, you guys all didn't get it. So this time, I'm being clear that I just like it part of the record. That's all.
I do have a question for you, Mr. Lobey. In your email, you indicated that you sat in a utilities meeting. We did not have a utilities meeting on Monday, so maybe you went to Solon after that and you were invited to come to Rules and you did not stay.
I did make one mistake in there. It was Mr. Phoebe's, I think it's safety, I misnamed it, and I stand corrected, but I'll stand by everything else in there. How's that? Okay? And I wasn't in Solon because I was here for Mr. Phoebix, I came late, as he indicated, and for Mr. Plechnik. So I was here, and you know that. So.
But you didn't stay for Rules?
No, I did not, because I thought it was, I did not know this was on the agenda. Absolutely not. Somebody contacted me that this was coming up.
And it I was just in, for discussion, anyway.
I understand it's discussion, but it puts us in a bad legal position. I wish somebody would contact me before putting something in writing of this nature, especially when it's a matter of controversial issue. I think it's absolutely wrong. Puts us in a bad legal light that we're even talking about it. And I even talked to the clerk because she does pick up my phone because I'm with her.
Okay.
And I asked her.
Tom?
I'm getting censored again.
Well, you're just going on and on.
No. I'm telling you, you asked me who to talk to.
I never.
I'm allowed to say what my point was, so it's on
the
record.
You made your point.
I did not make my point.
You
cut me off
much.
Again.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lobey.
Well, censorship.
Any other council representative reports this evening? The next item on our business tonight is public portion. This is an opportunity for the public to come forth and share thoughts and opinions. Sometimes we cannot answer them because we have to do some investigation on them and research, whether it's for council or for administration. The policy of council is for 3 minutes. I will ask that you come up and state your name and address for the clerk. I will open public portion at 7:45 p.m. Mr. Marsh?
My name is Thomas Marsh. I'm a retired CPA. At least I was until OH-317 Willoughby Wade Hill came up. I have worked on fact gathering and due diligence regarding the proposed cell tower at the historic Maple Grove Grange. In January, a group of neighbors got together and agreed to sponsor an open house at the Grange, February 4th. We understand that the newsletter that's supposed to go out in the mail tomorrow contains information about the Grange and the status of the Grange project and information about the open house, and we're very glad that at last 3,500 residents will know about it. The neighbors want the Maple Grove Grange open space and historic cemetery to remain part of the landscape of the community as it has since 1951. This was the vision of the members of the Grange when they sold the building to the city, according to an article written by Chris Worrell, which he updated on September 26, 2011. I wish to thank Council for the 9 minutes that I was given on January 12th. I may come back to those curious issues at a later time after PCABR is resolved. This meeting, I want to take a moment to compliment the city for the great people that serve the community every day. I want to let the community know that I found the public records to be well maintained and easy to access. The information on the tower proceedings from February 2016 to date is there. It just takes time to work through the great volume of business through the city every day. I am now working on proceedings before the Planning Commission Architecture Review Board. We call it PC/ABR. It's a quasi-judicial independent board that must decide if the tower is going to be built or not. It is a very complex case for the community, or at least those that are opposed to this cell tower, to prepare for. I am representing myself before PCABR. The first public meeting was held on October 20th, 2016. I did not attend the meeting because I did not get the notice, although records I obtained indicated I was on the mailing list. I have an audio of the meeting and the written minutes so I can catch up. Today I put in a request with PCAB Architecture Review Board to continue the recess from the October 20th meeting so that site visits could be arranged as called for in the minutes. And I would request that request be added to these minutes. It's been passed out. Today, I understand the engineer requested more information for the review and made a recommendation to postpone until it is provided. So I guess we're on the same page on that. The next PCR meeting is February 16th, and then the community must be prepared the first and third Thursday of every month until this thing is resolved. The best way for the community to proceed is to send PC/ABR written statements, attention Fred Weiss, and request it be marked for the record for board's consideration. You must give your name and address. You must also attend you can also attend meetings and speak three minutes to supplement your review. Thanks to the law director for informing the citizens of their rights. If I may just add, if we got the open house planned, I've got parking arranged at Garfield School. I hope you can work out among you to carpool or whatever, and I hope that you can work out that various ones of you will be there through the entire event. It's all spit-shined inside, in good shape. They've been working hard. We've been working on cleaning on the outside. Looking forward to a really good community event. And I did hire, I am going to hire police to come in and help with the traffic. Thanks for the extra time today.
You're welcome, Mr. Marsh. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else for public portion? All right. I will call closed public portion at 7:50 p.m.
Madam Chair, can I make one clarification? Just so there's no confusion on the my recommendations for the cell towers. The Planning Commission has a two-part process. There's a preliminary approval and then a final approval. So if the typically if the applicant gets preliminary approval, they can proceed with their final engineering. So that's the purpose of the preliminary approval. So in my recommendations, I recommended I fully anticipate having a Planning Commission meeting next week for both tower sites. I recommended preliminary approval for the West Miller site. However, I recommended action be postponed on the Grange site because there's additional information needed, and it gives the applicant a definite timeline to provide that information so this doesn't drag on any further. So I think he has until early March to provide the information. Otherwise, it's an automatic denial. That's all.
Thank you. All right. Any unfinished business?
Madam President.
Vice President Plesnik.
If I could just add, you know, following off your point, one thing that concerns me as a member of council is as we try to ask questions, I myself have experienced a lot of difficulty in getting answers. When I make public records requests to the city myself, I've found weeks have passed in some cases with no response. And I'll give one quick example. I asked for all of the records with respect to the hiring of the fire chief, now the ex-fire chief, and ultimately all I got back was the 18 applications. So I find it astounding that not a single note or email or discussion took place with respect to the ex-fire chief's hiring. I find it absolutely astounding. Either it's true and virtually no due diligence was done at all, which may well be true, or my public records request wasn't honestly filled. And I can tell you that yesterday morning I made a public records request for the city newsletter that our resident mentioned during public portion and apparently has heard has already gone to the printer. If that's the case, there's an electronic file. I know how printers work. There's an electronic file that could have been emailed to me almost instantaneously. And we keep hearing that we're supposed to comply with public records requests, and yet the city itself has been, at least with respect to council people who've tried to do their due diligence, very reticent to hand over critical documents on big issues. And I'm frankly shocked that a document that clearly exists, that's going to print, has not been turned over at this point. Furthermore, you know, the email that you referenced from our law director, I have to say, speaking as a law professor who trains students on a number of parameters, including professionalism, I don't think I have ever seen an attorney send an email to their clients with that tone and tenor. I don't think I've ever seen that in my legal career. And I would never condone a student, not once in a million years, sending their client such a disrespectful email that was clearly antagonistic. A lawyer-client relationship is one of mutual respect and working together and is not possible if there's foundational conflicts, even if they're simply personal. You can't represent someone that you absolutely hate and disdain, and those are the two things I saw in that email, and it saddened me greatly to see that from someone who's supposed to be representing us. And I'll add to that and say, I always, myself, personally, fully, absolutely comply with the public records and the Sunshine Laws, and insinuations to the contrary have repeatedly been made, even as my public records requests have largely been ignored. And I want to say on the record, I find that very troubling. And the last point I'd like to make, because the cell tower issue is very important to me, I want to share my impression of what happened. And I'm only speaking for myself. Council is a body of seven, and I'm not a member of the Planning and Zoning Commission. But speaking for myself, the impression that I was given from administration, as I go back to the minutes, that impression is reinforced, is that there was a belief that there was a need to act, even though the normal course of action is to let a full planning and zoning review happen first. And even in that vote, I wanted to make absolutely certain that any ordinance that was passed by council made it clear that we did not waive planning and zoning review, which is something council can do with respect to city property. I thought this issue was too important to waive a planning and zoning review. I wanted to see an ordinance that specifically spelled out that the substantive review that planning and zoning always does would take place. And it troubles me that my attempt to make sure that protections weren't waived is misconstrued as some great support for a cell tower politically after the fact. At the end of the day, I wasn't ready to vote on the substance of whether or not a cell tower was right for the city. And in a very real sense, I never could, because the Planning and Zoning Commission, with respect to any structure, whether it's a cell tower, a shed, or a skyscraper, is ultimately tasked with that responsibility. And I don't want any resident to misinterpret my position based on what they may or may not have been told by a city employee. My position is this should have gone through and should go through a full review. And I'm very troubled that even though the ordinance said even execution of the cell tower lease was contingent upon a full planning and zoning review and vote to approve, and even though the mayor told us twice on the record at a council meeting in respect to our questions that he had not executed the agreement, we found out by email the very next day that yes, he had. And I think if anything puts our city at risk, it's a mayor signing an agreement before an ordinance authorizes him to, because what happens now if the Planning and Zoning Commission does what I think it should do based on what our city engineer has said? And if nothing further is provided, rejects this proposal. They may well come back and sue us saying, Mr. Mayor, you signed the agreement. We want our contract enforced. And your law director just said you never consulted with him. So based on no legal advice, you signed against the wording of an ordinance. That's how you put a city at risk. And I am very troubled that my concern on this issue is being misinterpreted or misconstrued. I wanted full due diligence. I want full due diligence. And I think at this point, the whole process should start from square one and likely be scrapped entirely because of the way it's been mishandled. Thank you.
Ms. Fellows?
Mr. Lobey?
Let me assure you the statements made by Mr. Plechnik as a matter of law are absolutely foolish and wrong.
Mr. Lobey, I am not going to. You're out of order. We are not going to sit here at this council table and start to bash people.
I have to say the law.
Member, he didn't make a law statement.
Yes, he did.
He said he made a personal.
He said he made a legal position.
You're out of order. This is the second time I've asked. We're not going to sit here and go back and forth on this. This is not what this purpose is for this meeting.
Ms. Fellows, he spoke for 5 minutes.
I'm asking you to leave the council chambers, Mr. Lobey.
I'm going to get off the dais. If I'm being censored, I'll leave the dais voluntarily. I have no problem. I'd rather do that.
Calling a council member a fool is egregious.
You know, Mr. Lobey, council confirms your appointment in the city. Council approves the money you get paid. And you are to represent us, and you harass us. The next order of business is legislation. Ordinance 2017-1. Vicki, please read the caption.
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to execute an agreement between the City of Willoughby Hills and the Ohio Patrolmen's Benevolent Association on behalf of the sergeants and declaring an emergency.
This will stay on second reading, and we need to have the agreement corrected for the lateral transfers. I'm not sure where we go with that or who we need to speak to, but that needs to be done. Ordinance 2017-2.
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to execute an agreement between the City of Willoughby Hills and the Ohio Patrolmen's Benevolent Association on behalf of the patrol officers and declaring an emergency.
This will also stay on second reading. Ordinance 2017-3.
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to execute an agreement between the City of Willoughby Hills and the Ohio Patrolmen's Benevolent Association on behalf of the dispatchers and declaring an emergency.
This will be on second reading, and again, this particular contract needs to be corrected as it wasn't done 3 years ago when council passed it. The next one is ordinance 2017-4.
An ordinance repealing ordinance number 1978-33 and enacting in lieu thereof a new ordinance amending Part 3, Traffic Code, Title 7, Parking, Chapter 351, Parking Generally, Section 351.14, Overnight Parking of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Willoughby Hills and declaring an emergency.
This will be on second reading. Next one is ordinance 2017-6.
Madam President.
Let Vicki read the caption first.
An ordinance repealing ordinance number 2013-41 and enacting in lieu thereof a new ordinance amending Part 9, Streets, Utilities and Public Service Code, Title 3, Utilities, Chapter 923, Sewer Rates, Section 923.01, Sewer Rate Charges, established subsection C and D of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Willoughby Hills, and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Councilwoman Micah.
I move to waive the three reading rule on Ordinance 2017-6.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Micah and a second from Councilman Fiebig to waive the three reading rule on Ordinance 2017-6. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnik.
As you mentioned from the rules minutes, if our residents are to see this reduction before their next bill, it's necessary for the three-reading rule to be waived and the ordinance adopted at this meeting. And I think that after years of suffering, some of and ultimately the highest sewer fees in Lake County, our residents have waited long enough for relief. And so I think this is one of those moments where it is most appropriate to waive the three-reading rule and put our residents first. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Plushnik. Any other discussion on the motion?
I do not feel that we should waive the three reading rule tonight. I think we, as a body, we need to be more careful of the waiving the three reading rule, as evidenced in the cell tower situation. I urged council to leave that on three readings. In these types of situations, it's not an emergency. Leave it on three readings. Let the public hear it. Let people have a chance to come forth. There are, even though it does provide lower fees, there is an argument to be made that perhaps these fees are being lowered too much because they're just going to have to be raised later on some years down the line, and that time period hasn't yet been determined.
Thank you.
Madam President.
Councilwoman Micah.
It's unfortunate that Councilwoman Greer and Hallam were not present at this past Monday's committee meetings because we really did due diligence in exploring and answering a lot of questions that have persistently come up about this ordinance. I would just like to point out that the mayor supports this ordinance, that the finance director has gone over numbers, and we went over numbers again, numbers which show that after 1 year's review time, which won't even be a full year, it'll be this October, we still will have a good amount of money. We'll have over our million still in the enterprise fund. So this will not provide, as you termed it, a drastic cut. This is not a drastic cut. It's not going to drain our enterprise fund down to zero. We have a duty, I think, when we are asked repeatedly by residents to look into a matter, and I have been asked repeatedly to look into this. Mr. Plechnik has been asked repeatedly to look into this. The mayor's secretary has been asked repeatedly to look into this happening. It's not a new matter. It's been going on for years before either you or I were on this council. We've done our research. I've talked to the city of Euclid people to get notes to make sure we were doing this correctly. I've talked to the person out at Lake County Department of Utilities about the water bills. I've sought to understand a very difficult concept here, how to break it down and have it make sense. I am not in favor, this is time sensitive, of letting it go so that there is no action taken on this for 3 more months. They're going to get their current bills, and they're going to reflect an increase because that's what's going to happen. So with a review promised every October, we can monitor this situation. We can be very accurately looking at the effects of it, and we can take appropriate action if it's not working. We just got a report tonight that our finances were in good shape, and we got more money than Mr. Brickachek was expecting. We spent less than was expected. Perhaps this would happen in this situation, too, where it would just be a win-win situation. So I urge you, my fellow council people, to just go with this, do it for the residents, do it for the senior citizens, waive and adopt this ordinance tonight, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman Micah. Any other comments on the motion?
Madam President.
I do.
Councilman.
I just want to say, speaking for myself and what I actually heard from Councilwoman Greer, I don't think anyone's doubting the work or the due diligence. Simply that, you know, we do have a three-reading rule for the reason to let the residents really hear it, make sure they understand it, and give them ample opportunity to ask questions and get those questions responded to. So please don't mistake what I'm saying, at least, to say that you haven't done your work, because I think you've done a lot of
really good work, and I actually like it. But I'm concerned that we have always said we should let the residents hear these things more than just a couple times. That's why we have a three reading. And so that's all. I think it's more about just making sure we give them the ample opportunity that they deserve and that we promise to hear these things. And it's not. I don't view it as a major impact. I would love a reduction in mine too. But I also think it's important that we make sure we give everybody ample time. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Hallam. Councilwoman Greer.
My statements were going to reflect the same sentiment. I'm not arguing against a decrease. This motion was just about the three-reading rule, and I don't think that we should waive it in this case.
Anyone else?
Madam President.
Councilwoman Micah.
Just to reiterate, not waiving the three-reading rule, and it's unfortunate the timing put it to a deadline like this, but it is what it is at this point. But it's really pretty fateful timing that the water bills and sewer bills just were received this week by probably most residents, I would say. It would be really interesting to see if any resident would really object to a sewer rate reduction. That's all I have to say.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
The three reading rules put in place for having people given the chance, having council plenty of opportunity to have committee meetings, which we had numerous ones on. I compliment our freshman legislator here, Councilwoman Micah, to have done such a stellar job on putting this together. But on our council, many times we do waive things for good and just reasons, and this one is time sensitive. So when there is a time sensitive issue, and for the welfare of our residents, we should just go for two readings on this because it is time sensitive. So for that reason, I'm in favor of waiving the third reading in 2 weeks because that'll put us behind three more months. And I urge you to vote yes on this.
Madam President.
Councilman.
If I may, one more time. There are sets of circumstances that are not revealed sometimes. And there are residents who are not notified sometimes because of the three reading rule. It seems to me that many council people on this table would like to go back and have the set of circumstances for the cell tower. They would like to go back and have that third reading because of circumstances that perhaps we didn't know about. We didn't know about them because we didn't give it that extra time. So when we can give it the extra time, we should.
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnik.
If I could just share, although I wasn't on council at the time, going back to September of 2013, I was sitting in the chairs where the public is now, and I was at the meeting when the sewer fee rate hikes that were proposed and authored by the mayor's administration were voted in. And I remember very clearly that only one member of council objected to those rate hikes being waived in the three-reading rule and passed immediately, and that member was Councilman Dave Phoebig. And I think he was prescient in what he said. It was wrong because residents did need the chance for input. And now over not just weeks or months or a few meetings, over 3-4 years, residents have given their input and they've said that paying the highest sewer fees in Lake County isn't acceptable. And I understand that there are eventualities we can't necessarily foresee. That's true for anything. I mean, we've heard tonight that it's a good idea to waive the three reading rule for our debt refinancing, but maybe if we wait longer, suddenly interest rates will plummet because of something the Trump administration does. Who knows? I mean, we can't foresee those eventualities. We have to do what we think is rationally right. And given that this ordinance, this legislation was given to us really without any resident input, and the reason it's come back has been because of resident input and years of meetings and discussions, I think it would be wrong-headed to say that residents haven't been heard. I think the only reason we're talking about sewer fees is they have been, because let's be honest, how often do politicians talk about actually cutting taxes or fees and mean it? How often does that stump speech turn into an ordinance after years of work and research that Councilwoman Micah has put into this? Very seldom. very seldom. And the reason it's happened has been because residents have come forward. Frankly, I think the reason Councilwoman Micah was elected is because residents wanted a champion to say these sewer fees are too high. So I believe the residents have spoken, and my vote will be in favor of waiving. But if it's not waived tonight, best believe I'll be voting in favor of it on the third reading at the next meeting. And I dare people to not listen to their residents on that vote, because at the end of the day, our residents deserve better. And if it, by the way, it turns out that we still can't balance the sewer fund budget, I would point to our costs more than our revenues. Because if we can't balance the sewer fund with the highest fees in Lake County, and make no mistake, even with these cuts, the fees will still be the highest in Lake County, then we're doing something wrong. And frankly, even the estimates which Councilwoman Micah shared with us show an assumption that we approve every single purchase, every capital expenditure that the service department has proposed. That's effectively a worst-case scenario projection. In all likelihood, not all of those purchases will be approved. In all likelihood, some cost savings will be achieved. So even in that worst-case scenario, this proposal will still leave us with $1 million after the first year, over $1 million. But I personally don't see the worst case happening, because it's time for us to roll up our sleeves and reduce expenses. That's how we can afford to give cuts to our residents, by doing the hard work of line-by-line budgeting and making sure that we balance those budgets, as opposed to the easy default answer that every politician since the dawn of time has come up with: raise taxes and fees. Well, I'm here to say no to that and yes to cutting sewer fees. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Plesnik. Any other discussion on the motion? So I have a motion from Councilwoman Micah and a second from Councilman Phoebe to waive the three reading rule on Ordinance 2017-6. Vicki, call the vote.
Plesnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Phoebe.
Yes.
Greer.
No.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes. The three-reading rule has been waived on Ordinance 2017-6.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
Move the council adopt Ordinance 2017-6.
Second. I have a motion from Councilman Phoebe and a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt Ordinance Number 2017-6. Is there any other discussion on the motion?
Madam President.
Councilman.
I do want to say that I still am a little concerned about the amount that we are reducing this by. So I'm definitely going to hold the Utilities Committee responsible for reviewing this every October, because as it stands, by my numbers, within 3 to 4 years, we will be down to at least down to $1 million that we had originally set by the previous councils, saying that that was kind of the number that we needed to keep in there. And that's assuming we don't have any major issues between now and then. So I am still a little concerned that in 3 or 4 years here, if we don't watch it and adjust as maybe as necessary, that we are suddenly going to increase your rates even higher than they are now. And I'm sure that the residents equally do not want that as much as they maybe would like a reduction. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Hallam.
Madam Councilman President, Greer. I share similar thoughts on that. This is, I agree that we can do a decrease right now, but it seems very steep. And as we all sit here and lower this, we are doing this knowing that we will raise this. I just hope residents know that. This is short term. We will have to raise this, or we will deplete the funds.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Madam President.
Vice President Plesnik.
If I could just say, I understand that inflation is the ordinary course, and that is the dollar becomes worth less, most things do have to go up. But I think there's still room to cut more. And one thing I'll hold utilities to, and I know Councilwoman Micah will meet this challenge, is to continue to look at how we can reduce costs in the sewer fund so that we can always keep them as low as we responsibly can. I think that we all agree that the sewers need to be well maintained and the service department's job needs to be funded. But at the end of the day, it needs to be done for the lowest cost for our residents with the lowest and least oppressive sewer rates. So I look forward to those reviews continuing, and I hope that we'll be able to find additional savings for our residents. Thank you.
With that, Madam President, has anyone looked at that, or if we just talked about that? Has anyone actually talked to the service department about decreasing the spend on maintenance?
Madam President, I think what we're referring to is not only maintenance, but equipment purchases. Service department laid out quite a wish list for us not too long ago. It was almost $1 million, as I recall. And that's not written in stone either. So those are certain things that we that are well within our control, those type of expenditures.
There are also salary and wages that come out of that fund as well.
That are used on the sewers, though.
Right.
Because of the nature of our city, some being septic, some being sewer, you're not allowed to commingle those funds. So you have to take the wages and put those in the sewer fund.
I've just made a statement that that is what the fund is also used for, besides equipment.
Madam President, if I could follow on that thought, though, I certainly agree that when a sewer worker or when a service department person is acting as a sewer worker, that certainly is appropriately taken out of the enterprise fund. But it is debatable how much administrative salary should be allocated to the enterprise fund. And I will say, while I absolutely value the hard work of our finance director, I do question whether 20% of his time and his assistant's time is spent on the sewer as opposed to general budgetary issues. And that's something that reasonable people can debate. And I think a lot of residents feel that, you know, administrative salaries maybe are taken to a greater degree than necessary out of that fund. That's just one issue that's come up. That's, I think, where the salary issue has been mentioned. So I wanted to, you know, inject that for clarification. But reasonable people can disagree on what percentage of time is spent by administrative employees, although it's certainly the case that when someone is directly working in the sewer, that legally should come from the fund. But allocations are tricky things. Sometimes estimates and allocations are way off. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Plushnick. Vicki?
Plushnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Ordinance 2017-6 has been adopted. Next one is Ordinance 2017-7. Vicki?
An ordinance authorizing the expenditure of funds required to perform the city's 2015-2016 audit and declaring an emergency.
So be on first reading. Ordinance 2017-8.
An ordinance authorizing the expenditure of $26,925.17 required for the annual support service contract for the CODI CAD RMS system and declaring an emergency.
So also be on first reading. Next one is Ordinance 2017-9.
An ordinance providing for the issuance and sale of not to exceed $550,000 notes in anticipation of the issuance of bonds for the purpose of paying a portion of the cost of, one, renovating, improving, and equipping the city's existing fire and police communication center, two, acquiring a fire truck and all related expenses thereto, three, rebuilding and resurfacing various roads within the city, including a portion of Gatsby Lane and Hannah Road, and all necessary appurtenances thereto, four, acquiring an ambulance chassis and related equipment, and five, acquiring vehicles and related equipment for the service department and all related expenses thereto, and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
Move that council waive the three reading rule of Ordinance 2017-9.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Phoebe and a second from Councilwoman Micah to waive the three reading rule on Ordinance 2017-9. Actually, I'm glad that they did that so we could have a discussion on that motion.
So, Madam President, in hearing from our finance director, who we trust is handling the city finances to the best of his ability and is getting awards left and right to tell us that, we'd like to give him the flexibility to take this recurring debt back out again to find the best rate possible. This doesn't mean that it won't be done in 6 weeks. It just means that he can find the best possible time to find that. It gives him the flexibility that he would need, along working with the other experts that he would, to refinance this this debt that has been incurred over, you know, numerous years. So I would urge passage to give him that flexibility.
Thank you, Councilman Fiebig. And this was discussed in the finance meeting, committee meeting this night. So if you weren't here, then you would not have heard what Mr. Berkachek had to say about that.
Madam
so.
President.
Councilman
Harrell. I would just like to say that I am in favor of waiving the three reading rule for, I think the residents would like us to refinance our debt at the lowest possible rate as possible. And based on the comments of our finance director, I think that's the most prudent thing and economical thing to do.
Thank you, Mr. Helm. Anyone else? Councilwoman Greer, would you like to speak about the three reading rule on this one?
I'd be happy to. In this, I'm all in favor of this. This allows, this is not something that has to happen tomorrow, but it allows the flexibility for it happen to tomorrow or 6 weeks from now when we would pass this in three readings. So it allows for a range of flexibility.
Thank
so
you.
In this situation, makes perfect sense.
Thank you. Anyone else? So we have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Micah to waive the three reading rule on Ordinance 2017-9. Vicki?
Plechnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Greer?
Yes.
Hollum?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
The three reading rule has been waived on Ordinance 2017-9.
Madam President?
Councilman Fiebig?
Move the Council adopt Ordinance 2017-9.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt Ordinance 2017-9. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki?
Plechnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Greer?
Yes.
Hollum?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Ordinance 2017-9 has been adopted. Mr. Berkachek, you're free to speak. Thank you. The next one is, the next and last one is Ordinance Number 2017-11.
An ordinance establishing the terms and conditions required for the confirmation of mayor appointments of the heads of all departments of the municipality.
This will stay on first reading, and I encourage all council members to please read this and come back with thoughts and questions that you may have. The next is
Madam, I'm sorry, Madam, but are we planning on regrouping as a committee of the whole or anything like that? Before.
It's still in rules, but I would entertain a council committee of the whole.
Just a thought. So we would have a discussion just about that.
The probability of everybody being there or more. Thank
Be
you.
Nice.
Okay, thank you. New business. We have a motion on the table.
Madam President.
Vice President Plechnik.
Motion of council to enable the fire department to apply for the FEMA SAFER grant for fiscal year 2016 staffing for adequate fire and emergency response SAFER program.
Second.
I have a motion from Council Vice President Plechnik and a second from Councilman Fiebig to enable the fire department to apply for the FEMA SAFER grant. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki?
Plechnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Greer?
Yes.
Hollum?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Motion for council to enable the fire department to apply for the grant has been adopted. Next order of business is for the good of the order. The next order of business is for the good of the community.
Madam President.
Councilman Greer.
I said the same thing the last meeting, but I would like to say it again. Let me find the flyer, please. The Willoughby Hills Boys League is having a tailgate party, and it's Saturday, February 4th at La Vera. Food is delicious. Money goes towards the kids' recreation events that the Boys League sponsors, and on behalf of some of the members of the Boys League, thank you for the council members who have already committed to going and donated towards it. And residents, I hope you can make it. It's a very nice time.
Thank you, Councilwoman Creer. Anyone else for the community?
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnick.
If I could just share that St. Mary's Church in Collinwood, along with the Slovenian American Cultural Association, are going to be having an event in honor of Prešeren, Slovenia's most famous poet, on Sunday, February 12th at 11:30 a.m. at the St. Mary Church Hall. And it should be a wonderful cultural event with good food and presentations. And, you know, as a member of the Slovenian American Cultural Association board, I just wanted to share that that announcement with everyone. I think it'll be lovely. I'll note that one of the primary organizers is our resident, Breda Lončar, who was recently honored with the naming of the Breda Lončar School of Success in Willoughby, continuing her Bridge to Success program for youth with various issues. And I will say I was invited to attend that event. It was a wonderful thing to witness. Breda Lončar does so much for the community in terms of helping to publish the Slovenian American Times as a member of its board and an editor. And for our Willoughby Slick Public Schools to also honor her as a former teacher, assistant principal, and principal by naming the school for her at the Northern Career Institute in Willoughby, it was just a lovely thing to see, and she continues to serve us. So, hail Prešeren.
Thank you, Vice President.
Madam President, just two items. One is my lovely wife is now the wedding planner for Slovenska Prastava. So, if any brides out there are looking for a great venue to have their wedding, she's an awesome project planner and wedding planner. So, it'll be certainly encouraged to check that out. And secondly, since my partner in crime over here is not here, I will say, if you can donate blood, please go out and donate blood. There's Wycliffe is having one at their community center on Monday, January 30th, from noon to 4:30, and then the Wycliffe Public Library on the February 6th from 3 to 7. Thank you,
Councilman Howland. Anyone else? With that, motion. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilor Fiebig, a second from Councilwoman Greer to adjourn. There's no discussion on the motion. Vicki, please call the roll.
Plushnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Council meeting is adjourned at 8:27 p.m. Thank you, everybody.